This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
One of the interesting Christmas gifts that I got this year was what's called my youngest son got me a Wi-Fi radio. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I get 16,000 radio stations, which I love listening to radio. And so I don't listen to them all at once, but 16,000 radio stations are a lot. If I want to listen to something from California, a station out of California, I listen to that. Chicago, my favorite news station out of Chicago, WBBM radio, listen to that, or something out of New York. The reason I tell you that is I stumbled onto a sermon from the East Coast, from a city that I won't even tell you the city, because I think it's a terrible story that the minister told about his own church. I would be embarrassed to death, and I really mean this, to tell this story. A minister of a church on the East Coast said that he was just chastising the people of the church because, I guess, on a previous Sunday, a woman in the parking lot collapsed and fell on the blacktop, and several cars drove right by her, never stopped. From church, we're not talking total strangers, we're talking people from church. And the minister honestly said one guy slowed down and stopped, rolled down the window and said, "Ma'am, are you okay?" And she said, "I think so." And he said, "Good, okay, take care." And she's still lying on the pavement. I'm crazy enough to think that if somebody's lying on the pavement, they probably need some help. It's a good chance that they need some help. But I would have been embarrassed to tell that story. And he said, he was telling his people, you know, you better get with it. If somebody from our own church family collapses in the parking lot and you're in such a hurry to get to a restaurant or wherever you're going, there's something wrong. And his point was well taken. So if you collapse today, we'll be there. We're going to be there for you. We'll be there. There's no other story that I know of in the Bible, no other book of the Bible, and I really mean this, I've done some research on this, where a book of the Bible or a story is made fun of more than the story of Jonah. You want to hear howls of laughter, you share that story with people who reject the authority of Scripture and think, what a joke. Don't tell me about a man being swallowed by a fish or a whale. The big fish, I think, is what the King James uses, a giant fish. Not necessarily a whale, but people dismiss it. And there's a very dismissive attitude about the story of Jonah and the book of Jonah. And yet today, we start 6 weeks studying this four chapters, one of the shortest books in the Bible, the book of Jonah, where Jonah is a prophet of God. God gives him an assignment, and Jonah doesn't do it. He said, "I'm out of here. I'm not going to do, God, what you want me to do." We'll talk about that. We'll talk about his mission. We'll talk about what happens to him in the depths of the ocean. It's a powerful story. And you're going to learn things today that you never knew about this story. And I really mean that. We're looking at the Old Testament book of Jonah, the just first three verses, and then we're going to look at a parallel passage in Psalms about a man on the run who's running from God. That's the title of the message. Jonah 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. What an assignment. Go and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, which is Jaffa in Israel today, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. If you underline that sentence. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee or run from the Lord.
And so begins not only the book of Jonah, but our series, 6 weeks, entitled When God Pursues, the life of Jonah. Our website, crosshope.org.
This is a simple story. There's nothing technically involved in it biblically. It's just a simple story that a child can understand. Let's look at the first phrase. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. The word of the Lord. What happened? I don't know. I don't know if he had a dream. I don't know if he had a vision. I don't know if he was walking along and suddenly he heard a voice. We're not told that. It just said the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, at the risk of sounding melodramatic or over the top, I'm going to say something to you that I believe as much as I'm standing here. Every Sunday at Crossview Christian Church, the word of the Lord comes to somebody. You're talking about what I say? It has nothing to do with me. But those of you that have been here any length of time know there's been a Sunday when a scripture that was read from the Word of God, doesn't matter if it was Old Testament or New Testament, doesn't matter if it was one of the Gospels, one of the letters of Paul, or one of the prophets in the Old Testament, something was read that spoke to your marriage, what's going on in your marriage that week, and you know it. How do I know that? Because people have told me. That's how I know it. Something spoke to your family. Something spoke to your job situation. Something spoke to where you live. Something spoke to a struggle you're going with. And so I believe the word of the Lord comes to people every week, not in some presumptive way or presumptuous way on my part. I just believe that's the power of the word of God. The word of God has power. The Bible says about itself that it's like a double-edged sword. We don't use terminology like that. It means it cuts both ways. And when it says it penetrates joints and marrow, soul and spirit, it means it goes to the deepest recesses of a person's being. That's what it means. You know, the Bible will go to something in you that you can't describe intellectually, you can't describe it emotionally, you can't describe it physiologically. But there's a man here today who knows what it means when the word of the Lord came to you. And there's a woman here today, you know exactly what that means. The word of the Lord came to you. And what did the word say? Verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness had come up before me. Most people don't know this, but Nineveh was the powerhouse city of its time. It was the largest city in the world at the time. Now, here's what you'll find surprising. Nineveh, in terms of its location now, is across the river from the modern-day city of Mosul in Iraq. Mosul's one of the cities that we're hearing about currently in the news. The Islamic group ISIS, that's one of the cities they've retaken, the city of Mosul. And so this is just right across the river is a town called Nineveh. You know what? I did some research and I made a decision, an editorial decision. I can't even tell you the stuff they did in that city. I mean, it's so, you'd have nightmares about it. The way they treated babies, the way they treated the babies of enemies and children and adults in terms of torture. I mean, it's horrible. It was beyond imagination. And this country of Assyria, capital Nineveh, was a city, and the wickedness of the city came up to the Lord, which means the Lord took notice of it. And Jonah's given an assignment. You're going to have to go to that city, and you read this later on. And by the way, you could read this book in 20 minutes at home tonight. He's told that they've got 40 days to clean up their act, or that they're gone as a city. That's what the Lord's message was. Ray Pritchard's a writer, and I want you to listen to what he says. This is really funny and yet powerfully true. Note what Jonah had to do. Go to Nineveh and preach against it. This was not a God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life message. This was not a message about positive thinking or possibility thinking. It wasn't a book to cover your best life now. This was bad news with a capital B and a capital N. Note what Jonah had to do. Go to Nineveh and preach against it. This was not a God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life message. This was not a message about positive thinking or possibility thinking. It wasn't a book to cover your best life now. This was bad news with a capital B and a capital N. Bad news from Almighty God. Go to Nineveh and preach against it. Their evil was like a dirty stench to the Lord. The time of judgment had come. When God said Nineveh was wicked, he wasn't kidding. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, the most powerful empire in the world in that day. They had a reputation for cruelty that was hard for us to fathom. Their brutality was gross and disgusting. When armies captured a city or a country, unspeakable atrocities would occur. And that's the city that Jonah is told, you go and preach to them and tell them that in 40 days God's going to destroy their city. What does Jonah do? He buys a boat ticket to Tarshish. You say, where's that at? Tarshish was 2,500 miles west of Israel, across the Mediterranean Sea, 2,500-mile cruise, but this wasn't Carnival Cruise Lines, believe me. What he was taking a ship to the farthest place you could go to, and at that time it was in Spain. Some people referred to it in commentaries as the end of the earth. That's as far as people went, was Spain, at the tip of Spain near the Straits of Gibraltar on the Mediterranean. You can look it up in an atlas when you get home. And that's where he goes. Now, here's what I found out I never knew until this week. The book of Isaiah says that Tarshish was a place that didn't know the Lord, that they'd never heard of God, the true God. And so isn't it interesting that he not only wants to leave, but he wants to leave and go to a place where people don't know the Lord? There's no accident to that. Listen carefully. When a man or woman's running from the Lord, they want to get away from people that remind them of the Lord. Some of you have been there and done that. You know exactly what I mean. You want to get away from anybody, whether it's family, friends, coworkers. I don't want to talk about the Lord. I don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And so when he went to Tarshish, it meant he was trying to get away from God. And I find it interesting that verse 3 says, but Jonah ran away, headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship, and he paid the fare. He didn't use his miles. He paid the fare. He paid full fare. And you know what? One commentator said this probably was the most expensive boat ticket there was to go to Tarshish, because it was the farthest place. He was intentional about leaving and getting away from the Lord. I find that intriguing. What is it the Lord wants you to do that you've run from the Lord? I'm going to talk about running away from the Lord in a way that maybe you've never heard of before. I want you to turn to Psalms or just watch on the screen. We're going to look at Psalm 139, a parallel passage. Verse 7, David is speaking and he said, where can I go from your spirit? Nowhere. Where can I flee from your presence? Nowhere. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, another one translation says, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you.
Well, I hope you get the message of that scripture. There is nowhere, absolutely nowhere, we can go from the presence of the Lord. This message from the book of Jonah, this series, will continue tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org.
Those of you that take notes, I want you to number 1 to 5. I'm just going to give you 5 things where people run to. Number 1, people try to run to a place. People try to run to a place. And I think that some people think that physically there is a place I can go, I can get away from the Lord. When our daughter moved to Germany, I remember having this moment of thinking, oh my goodness, I'm in Germany. That's so far away, 4,500 miles, I think, to where they live, from Atlanta to Stuttgart. And I said, that's so far. And then I read a scripture that literally warmed my heart. It says this, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. You know what that means? You got a son or daughter in Germany or anywhere, in any part of the country or any part of the world, the arm of the Lord is not too short to have a hand on them. Nobody can get away from the Lord because of a place. Even though people try to do that. Number 1, people run to a place. I think some people, number 2, run to a job. A job can oftentimes be an opportunity or a venue to escape from the Lord, to flee from the Lord. I got things to do, man. I've got responsibilities. I got places to go. I got people to see. And sometimes a job, I really believe, can be a way of escaping from the Lord, and it can be used as an excuse to say, well, I wish I could be there with the Lord, but I can't. You see, I've got a job. I've got this job. Number 3, I think some people point to an activity, and that activity becomes the venue for fleeing the Lord. Well, we're so busy with this activity, with this situation, and we can all do it. It's not limited to a handful of people. Everybody's got activities. Everybody's busy in 2014, if you haven't figured that out yet. Everybody's busy. I haven't met a man or woman in the last 5 years that's not busy with things they've got to do. places they have to go and things they have to do. That's normal for all men and women here in this room. But we use an activity to flee from the Lord. This may surprise you, but I think some people use a relationship. Some people use a relationship to get away from the Lord. This may surprise you, but I think that some people use affairs as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get away from the Lord because they've got him to think about. They've got her to think about. And I got stuff going on with him. I got stuff going on with her. And so that becomes the venue. That becomes the area of running from the Lord. So I think a relationship can even be an opportunity to avoid the Lord. The last one is the word addiction. I believe you can have an addiction that you use as the cover to flee from the Lord. It can be to alcohol. It can be a drug-related addiction. It can be a sex addiction, whatever you want to talk about. And those addictions can be the venue for running from the Lord. I'm going to flee from the Lord like Jonah. I'm going to flee from the Lord like Jonah. I found out something about Jonah, that here he was, a Jewish man, told to preach to a pagan people and tell them they've got 40 days to repent or else, and he didn't want to do it. One commentator says this: the Assyrians had no use for the Jews, and the Jews hated the Assyrians. They hated them for their bloodthirsty cruelty. They hated them for their idolatry. They hated them for their arrogance. For a Jewish man to be told by God to go to preach to Nineveh was repugnant. Now, this is a strong sentence, but I want you to listen to it anyway. As far as Jonah was concerned, Nineveh could go straight to hell. As far as Jonah was concerned, Nineveh could go straight to hell. Go ahead, Lord, push the button, open the trap door, let them fall down into the pit. That's how Jonah felt about Nineveh. What is it in your life that you can point to right now? Nobody has to telegraph it to you and say, that's what I am doing. That's what I'm involved in, to run, to flee from the Lord. There's no place you can go. There's nowhere you can go, and the Lord will find you. I want to share three things with you. I want you to write three points down again. One, two, three. God can find you through the change points of life. God can find us through the change points of life. What's a change point? You change jobs, that's a change point. You move, that's a change point. You have a change in your family relationship, that's a change point. God can find you and does find people in the change points of life. Secondly, God can find us in the crisis moments of life. What's a crisis moment? A crisis in your marriage? God can find you in that. Many of you can testify to the fact that's when God found us, was in the crisis in your marriage. You have a crisis with one of your children. You have a crisis of health. You have a crisis with a job. You have a crisis in finances. God can find us in the crisis moments of life. And thirdly, God can find us in the chance encounters of life. Here's a chance encounter. You ever been involved with a conversation, even with a complete stranger, and you're talking about soccer, you're talking about the economy, you're talking about any number of things, and all of a sudden, somebody brings up the Lord. And you say to yourself, where did that come from? What's that have to do with anything today? Where did that come from? And the Lord can speak to us through the chance encounters in life. And listen carefully. As crazy as this may sound, I believe the Lord can bring a stranger into your life to speak spiritual truth. It's happened to me. Where the Lord can bring a total stranger to speak truth into your life, to speak biblical truth into your life. And you're shaking your head as you walk away and said, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It was a word from the Lord. It was a word from the Lord God Almighty. You know what? The Lord's pursuing somebody here today. And I don't say that arrogantly or presumptuously, like, how do you know? What do you know? I'm just saying I know that's true every week. The Lord is pursuing a man, a woman, a young person, a teenager, in all three services today who have been involved in something that's caused them to run from the Lord. They've been running to a place. They've been running to a job. They've been running to an activity. They've been running to a relationship. They've been running to an addiction. And you know what? The arm of the Lord's not too short to save. The decision to make today, don't be like Jonah, a man on the run. We're going to find out more about Jonah. We're going to find out more about his story, which is a dramatic story that continues next week for 6 weeks. But it's going to be about being pursued by God. God pursues people, get this, because he loves you. You ever been pursued by somebody that you considered an enemy and they were out to get you in some way? They were out to disable some capacity you had. They were out to hurt you in some way, not necessarily physically, but in some way, financially or whatever the case may be. God pursues in order to bless. God pursues because he loves us. God commended his love toward us. And Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You know who that is? You. Me. Christ died for the ungodly. And so we run to the one who's pursuing us. And we put up the white flag and say, Lord, I surrender all to the one who gave his all for me. His name is Jesus. Let's pray together.
Well, that's my prayer for you, my friend, that you will run to the one who's been pursuing you. Indeed, his name is Jesus. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.